Raise your hand if you know you're not operating from your full potential. There's a conversation inside of that. Conversation is why. And it's different for everybody. I had a neighbor once. She was 103, but she looked in her early 70s. I said, how come you don't look so old? She said, old? Age doesn't make you old. It's when you let your life beat you down, when you're not doing things that spark joy in your life. Majority of the people have settled for a 9-to-5 job, have settled in a relationship, have settled for where they live. The first abandonment came from us abandoning our original love. That was what made us the happiest when we were little kids. So what could be missing is the connection from your physical and your spiritual self. Here's what I want you to do. One of the major issues is people walking around with a mask that they don't even realize how much it's suffocating their future. Well, you can't sleep good at night if you're lying to yourself. The best way to change the world is to give our kids a better example of what to follow. People don't do what you say, they do what they see. They respond to how you feel. 100% will change the world.
Everyone, welcome back to Know Thyself. Today we're sitting down with a dear brother of mine, someone who is a coach, a facilitator, a healer, an author, a father, a husband, multidimensional human, a musician, an artist, and somebody that I found is one of the most effective human beings in the world that I've met at helping people become more free, more liberated, access their inner child, and restore youthfulness in their spirit, Garen Jones.
Dang, I was listening to that as if I wasn't sitting here. And I'd be like, I would be interested in whatever this conversation is. So thank you for, as I always say, just being brave enough to have a platform like this for stories like mine to have wings.
Yeah.
My guy.
I love all the podcasts I do, getting to interview brilliant minds, people that I haven't met. And I really love the ones where I get to sit down with somebody who I've known for a while, who we've weaved deep, you know, we've gone through, just grown through so much in the reflection of each other and community and brothers and our connection. And I'm really excited to dive in deeper as an extension to our last conversation, which we did about a year ago.
Yeah.
So
a lot has happened in a year.
A lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. A lot has happened. And I think where we can start that's a nice integration and continuation from last time is I feel like we all fundamentally do desire deep down the qualities and values of freedom, of vibrancy, health, wealth, positive, you know, relationships. And so much of what we see in the external world is a direct reflection from what's happening internally. And I feel like most adults oftentimes feel the burdensome reality of whether they start a family or, you know, relationships, bills, just responsibilities externally, and don't make as much space for and neglect the part of them that's the inner child that just wants space to breathe, to play, to have that creative expression. And we see that decades down the line, you know, that energy becomes callous and not easily accessible. And so how important do you feel it is to pay attention to that part of us that wants expression?
I really love that we are starting off with this particular topic, but I want to open with a story. It was maybe 7 years ago. I don't know, I've lost count, but I had to go to the dentist to get a root canal. The most pain I'd ever felt in my life, in my face, and my face was like the size of Thanos's from Avengers. And the dentist said, you've got to go see a specialist. It's too deep. And when I went to go see the specialist, he said, you've got to get a root canal. I was like, how's that possible? 15 years ago, I got a root canal. And he said, well, whoever originally did your root canal didn't get it all the way to the root. So you have 15 years worth of infection that is starting to show up on the surface. And it was, even with numbing cream, 10 times the pain. They had to saw half my jaw open, and I didn't really have insurance, so it was 10 times the money. But there is where I had one of the biggest epiphanies of my life while half my face was sawed open. Root, this is why this girl broke up with me. This is why I'm not in the singing group anymore, because it was always focused on the surface.
And if you pluck a weed from the top, it'll grow right back. But if you pluck it from the root, you actually have the opportunity to plant something else. And I have a saying that says, adults are deteriorated children. Well, you can't see the picture while you're in the frame. And when you're in the frame of your life, thinking that this person that you're currently dating is the problem, or this president is the problem, or this the rain or the traffic, and you avert all of your energy to that, you go away from the actual issue, which is a broken little child. The wounded child may be suffering from abandonment, maybe worthiness issues, maybe trying to prove dad right over and over and over again, mom right over and over and over again, or they didn't get the love that they wanted, which built up unworthiness. So you, every ounce of success that you have currently could be you trying to prove your love. And that affects your intimate life. It affects your money life in the way that it feels. So there's a lot of people like that make money, but one of my best friends put a bullet into his brain. I thought he had everything but himself and God. So there's the ripple effect of your life needing a spiritual root canal, and you not being aware could cause you to age 20 years faster than you're supposed to. It can cause the breakdown of your bones. I don't care how much biohacking you can do. You cannot biohack your spirit, your internal energy, and that will break you down. And a lot of that is the root of a broken child. And it's my life's work. And so as I see all over the news, all over media, and people going batshit crazy about everything, I hear a bunch of children screaming. And I have a deep sense of compassion because I was once that kid that didn't know that was a boy trying to be a man. You know, that was a boy trying to be a leader, calling myself certain things and masking it with, you know, over-sexualizing and other things that I was doing. Other people turn it into porn and weed addiction and whatever addiction that you have. All of this is a ripple effect of some need that was not met, that was literally done in the hands of the domestication of the child.
I love Gabor Mate saying, don't ask why the addiction, but why the pain.
Yeah.
And a lot of these external manifestations of addiction, or even just compulsiveness, a lackluster experience of life, really, I feel, often stem from these pains that are unresolved. It's like the pain of self. Who we have been for ourselves and who we've been being and portraying in the world is not aligned with our true self. And so we can fake it for a little while, but then it starts to become more painful. And when that pain starts to outweigh the pain of changing, then oftentimes we see somebody seek some sort of external knowledge, a coach, plant medicines, so many different myriads to be able to correct that place within. Share a little bit more about your journey of discovering that internal youthfulness, because you know, you look at a picture of you 10 years ago at 34, you look 43 now, and now you're 43 and you look 34 because of these internal shifts of the releasing of the harboring of the pain and resentment and all those things.
I love this question because I had a neighbor once that she was 103 when I lived in Santa Monica. She was 103, but she looked in her early 70s. I said, how come you don't look so old? She said, old? Age doesn't make you old. It's when you let your life beat you down. That's what makes you old. When you're in jobs you don't want to be in and you stay in it, that's what makes you old. She's like, when you're in relationships that you don't want to be in and you stay in them, that's what makes you old. When you're not doing things that spark joy in your life. And it was literally in that moment, I was just like, I'm not about to wait to die to start living. And the cemetery is not where you see the most dead people. It's where you walk around every day. And I don't care what it looks like on the outside. You can always look at the character and the sustainability of one's life to tell you how their being is vibrating, like in how they're orbiting in the world. And, you know, it's that conversation when it comes to how you're living. I tailored it back to, when was I the most happiest? When did I have the most joy? When did I have the most energy? And all I could think about is being on the playground. All I could think about is when I was in art class, when I was like dance lessons and just doing all these things. I never thought about time. And I'm aware that there's a lot of people that had other likes and interests when they were little kids. Some people might not even remember. So you'll have to ask somebody that was around, what did I naturally gravitate towards? I naturally gravitated towards dancing, motivation, before I even knew what personal development was. There was this thing that would happen inside of me. And when two people were arguing, I would just say anything. I felt called to say something, and then good things would always happen. That was the ABC version of what I'm currently doing right now, but that was just honoring little Garen. Of course, that was unconscious. So when a little kid who had the biggest of dreams, when I'm big, I'm gonna be a president of the United States, I'm gonna be this, it was always something massive. Majority of the people have settled for a 9-to-5 job, have settled in a relationship, have settled for where they live, have settled for the car that they drive. Because the bigness somehow was squashed by mom or dad or brother or society or your skin color or what things were glorified as cool. And the more and more things don't get highlighted, which children thrive in celebration. So if you don't live in a house where you're constantly hearing an authority figure celebrating what you love, what makes you happy, you will unconsciously shift directions and do the thing that gets their attention and then they say, oh yeah, great job. And so that's how sometimes it's, oh yeah, lawyers runs in the family. Yeah, this runs in the family. It runs it. No, what's running through you? And I think this is such an important conversation because, you know, I coach a lot of really epic humans and I run retreats and masterminds and stuff. One of the major issues is people walking around with a mask that they don't even realize how much it's suffocating their future. And it's suffocating their future, so they'll try to work and work and work and work and work and read whatever spiritual jargon and whatever and then go see this shaman and do all these different things. But if you are feeding the mask, the real you, it's like a baby at home. The baby's not getting fed. It's not getting nurtured. Oh, you don't deserve to have a relationship with it. So there could be a disconnect from the from your spiritual self and your physical self, largely because the little kid was left. And I often say, I think the first abandonment came from us abandoning our original love, and what made us the happiest when we were little kids.
So much of that is unconscious, repressed, disowned shadow material that, like, as adults becomes unconscious, you know, those needs that simply just weren't met as a kid, you know, it's really not overcomplicated. It's like a plant not getting the water and sunlight it needed, you right. know, as human beings, as a child in our developmental journey, if we didn't get the right amount of connection and love and reflections that we needed at the certain stages of development that we needed them, then we create those behavioral compensations that show up later in life to try to fill that hole, to try to fill that need. And so awareness, I feel like, is always the first piece. And yeah. wherever somebody's at in their journey, you know, it's not to shame, you know, the 9-to-5s or the periods of our life where we're really not living in alignment, but it's discerning whether or not you're choosing consciously to live a more simplistic life or a certain lifestyle, or you're kind of undermining yourself and you're kind of BSing yourself into playing small when you know that you want to shine much bigger and that you have bigger dreams. And, you know, this just requires so much compassion, because I know from my journey, and I know definitely for your journey, there were many, many times where it was like complete 180 from where you're at right now.
Absolutely. But I want to add to what you were saying about playing small.
Yeah.
I want everybody at home right now. And I want you to be honest. You can lie to me. You can lie to your friends. Don't lie to yourself on this one. Raise your hand if you know you're not operating from your full potential. You know you're leaving something on the table. You don't even have to tell me. The reason why I'm saying this, because there's a conversation inside of that. The conversation is why, and it's different for everybody. So I want to share with you why I left my bigness and who I really am. I remember being 13 years old and being introduced to Gandhi for the first time, and Nelson Mandela, and then something overtook my spirit, and I literally said, "That's me." And the moment I said, "That's me," another voice said, "Well, who am I to think that I can be like them? Those are the type of people who get killed." And I literally, at 13, shut that part of me that resonated with that level of depth and impact down until a year and a half ago. And I cannot tell you how many games I played with myself, doing just enough. And if my just enough was a little bit better than other people around me, that's where I hid. So I'd find other groups so I can get in there and rise through the group. And if my just enough was a little bit better, and these aren't the things that people talk about. So I'm speaking to the voiceless part of humanity right now, or the parts of you that you haven't yet given a voice. My just enough was a little bit better than other people around me. That's where I hid. So I hid why God put me on this planet, who I really am, for the sake of this quiet approval of self. And it was subtle. I'm better than. I didn't even have to say it. I'm like, oh yeah, yeah. And it's a great place to hide. And until I was in a deep meditation last year, and I said, there's something missing. I why am I not living as my fullest expression? And then my grandmother, who's I feel is my ancestor that's assigned to me, Big Mama. Anybody who knows about Big Mama, they know. She came to me in a meditation, and she said, "Garen, you were never meant to be the most polarizing person. I forgot what it was said. It was almost like you're trying to climb the wrong tree. You are meant to whisper great secrets in the most powerful leader's ears. And they can't kill who they can't see, because the type of impact you're meant to make can't be made through one person." And in that moment, I accepted who I really am. After people can see this outside success, but then inside you'll be like, but something is missing. And there's so many people that are literally saying that right now. Something is missing. Yeah, you, the real you. And what in why the body gets all discombobulated like that? Think of a bird where it try to be an alligator. Something that it's not. Now, think about the bird doing everything that it can to be all that it is. All of its fibers, its wings, its bone, I mean, everything, every fabric of the bird who doesn't even know it, that it's a bird. And then soaring happens. Where the human version of soaring is flow, being in the abundance frequency, absorbing the riches of life, with money being the least of all values, but it's definitely a part of it. And that's why a whole life can be a rich, not just a part of a life, especially when you're in alignment with your true self. And so this whole conversation spawned from, Garen, you're not being who you really, you're trying to be somebody and you don't feel seen. But in a world of people who are trying to be seen a certain way, when you are yourself in its purest of authenticity, that's like a light in the world of darkness. And that you are seen without even trying to be seen. And the safest, most purest way I know to reach that is through the eyes, mind, and heart of the little kid who has their needs met and is actually authentically joyful.
Yeah, the authentic internal feeling of joy in the act of play, time spent without purpose, like really embodying that frequency. We'll get right back to the episode, but first, this show is sponsored by BetterHelp. At different inflection points in my life, I have had conversations with friends like Garen or mentors or coaches that provided a perspective shift that ended up leading into powerful pivots and choices in my personal life. And so oftentimes just talking to somebody about what you're going through can make all of the difference. If you're somebody that is in a chapter of life where you're struggling with mental health, anxiety, depression, or you just feel like something is holding you back from getting that next level in your life, then consider checking out BetterHelp. Their mission is to make therapy more affordable and accessible, and it is a worthy mission because finding a therapist can be really hard, especially when you're limited to the options in your area. BetterHelp is a platform that makes finding a therapist easier because it's all online, remote, and by filling out a few questions, they can match you to a professional therapist in as soon as just a few days. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/knowthyself today and get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/knowthyself. Back to the episode. It's much easier to see in others what their patterns are than to see in ourselves, simply because I believe we have distance from it. You like really can't smell yourself if you like, you know, if you have bad breath or maybe you've been working out, like you kind of get—
Sometimes I can smell. My wife would be like, Garen, go take a shower.
Exactly. So she can smell it more than you, you know, because she has more distance from it. There's more contrast in the experience of it. And also in terms of the internal experience, there's not as much attachment or emotional charge. Like I don't have emotional charge to your patterns unless they're maybe the same ones I have. And so it's easier to spot in others. It's more difficult to turn those eyes inwards. And that's why I think, and I'm excited to talk about, you know, the men's group and the importance of reflections from clear lenses, from people that can really see you, that love you, that have clear perception, because that's really valuable. And then just going back to what you were saying, you know, even a few months ago when we were over in Egypt and, you know, this was, I feel like, a little piece of you as well. Yeah. And I appreciate your vulnerability for sharing in a continuation of this piece, you know, accepting even deeper the effortlessness of who we are and how it's supposed to express. And, you know, the part of you, for example, that at times would behaviorally compensate to bring in more attention or admiration because it gives the appearance of feeling enough. It gives the appearance of feeling loved. And then the switch I saw you where it's like, actually, I don't have to do anything to be me. And
like literally nothing.
Like actually nothing. And it's the reverse effect. The more that I try to do something to be me, the more I'm actually not being me. And so I just want to, you know, talk about that shift if you're open to it a little bit more.
Yeah, no, I think it's a big conversation. And one, everybody needs a friend like Andre. Or a friend like me. There's people that too many people have too many yes people in their life. Oh my God, everything, it's like everything you do is amazing. And they're afraid to stand for you to go higher because there is no emotional buy-in. Like the people that I let in can literally give me I don't even call it feedback. I call it feed forward because I'm going to take that and chew it up and turn it into a juicy meal for my life. And people run away they call it difficult conversations and things of that nature. There's, you know, sometimes people on my team, they're like, Garen, could I have this tough conversation with you? And I'm just like, I'm just ready. Like, I'm just chilling. And all of a sudden, they'll share, you said you were going to do this and you forgot. I'm like, oh, thank you so much for sharing with me how I can get better. Like, you know, I couldn't see the picture. And they're like, that's it? I'm like, yeah. So people, I think people are used to getting scolded. And so they don't even know how to speak up and stand for their friends. However, inside of like men's groups, and we have family tribe and men's tribe, having people who you give permission that if you see me getting too big on my head, ego or something like that, please tell me. I want to better my life. Having people who are like no-nonsense type people in your life that just, I call it a loving interruption, and they can create a loving interruption and be like, yo, G, I've noticed that. I'll go through whatever I'm going to go through because I got to deal with like whatever shame and guilt that I have. But having those kind of people in your life is like a cheat code. It's a cheat code in business, entrepreneurship, growing an organization. Is a cheat code in a marriage. My wife is that. Literally, my wife has stood for me in every place I've tried to hide since pretty much my entire life. I have become a better man, a better father to both of my daughters, 10x my revenue in a year and a half, a way better leader because the way Blair holds me accountable, she's like the cement in between the bricks that build something. And that's how I feel about just like being in a men's group with you. It's like I've shared things that I haven't shared with anybody. And a lot of people don't have a safe space where they can actually share the truth. I can share with you what I think you want to hear, but then I'm playing it safe for what's actually happening and the voices inside of my head. Well, you can't sleep good at night if you're lying to yourself. So I really, really cherish having a collective group of people, and it doesn't have to be too many. Just like you, a couple of other people, seven people, y'all are aligned on your goals and values, and then create a space where it feels safe enough for you to share your true vulnerabilities and share things you never shared before. The level of growth in healing when the nervous system feels that safe is insurmountable. What plant medicine can do, a safe environment for your nervous system can do the exact same thing, but most people don't feel safe. Mm. Most people don't feel safe at retreats. They feel safe for a moment until it's a whole nother conversation to, a lot of men, but a lot of people with leaky energy then start using that vulnerability for just the other side of the moon, their shadow self that they haven't dealt with yet. So, I kind of like spawned off in another conversation, but they're all intertwined and connected. But yeah, that's how I feel, brother.
Yeah. I'm equally eternally grateful that safe space. There's a difference between intellectually feeling like, yeah, okay, I can share, maybe it's safe, but like somatically feeling it in your body. Yes. to where you're in the presence of another person, and whatever it is, however small or big, whatever it's regarding, whether it's relationship, finances, sexuality, shame, guilt, and I have so much compassion for individuals that maybe don't feel like they have individuals where they live, where they have that. I'm very grateful for the cultivation of like our like group, for example. But they're like having the awareness that is something that you want can be the seed in which it grows to meeting those individuals and connecting with people online and finding those spaces, because it's really important. And I do not believe we're meant to heal on an individual level. Like, we are tribal creatures, and having community to be able to reflect on these things is super important.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I don't think that when somebody says, I don't want it, a lot of times they just don't know what the value is.
Yeah.
Because people show up for what they value. And you just may not know the value of being in an environment where people accept you for who you are and who you are not. You don't have to put on a mask. You don't have to put on a front. And it can be an opportunity for you to level up and grow up and share ideas and communicate on a deep soul level. I call it vibrational truth. There's a truth in the mind that's full of lies. And then there is an inherent truth, which is found in the body. And it is
lies cannot penetrate.
Lies cannot penetrate the inherent vibrational truth. And that speaks a completely different language than our given human language. You know, it is a very powerful come from when you can seek out. Don't wait for it to come to you. When you can seek out, I am looking. Like when my wife was coming to Austin, she was like, I want to be around some powerful, successful women with families and things. And this is the kind of women I want to be around. She literally has the best of friends, Yvonne and Carly Brown. Like literally, and what she was looking for, what she asked for, what she called in, what she meditated about, what she journaled about, she literally has right now. And I don't think I have ever seen greater friends. They like teaching me how to be a better friend. And so I think tribe is the new currency. Community is the new currency. Like while they do all this stuff with like money and the Bitcoin and all this, there's so many other things, but I truly do believe your energy is worth more than your money if you know how to use it in an effective way. Like there's a reason why Nikola Tesla said, if you want to know the secrets of the universe, think in terms of energy and frequency. Well, if your energy is worth more than your money, and you can amplify energy in a community, and they say two or more come together, you know, you start hearing all these things about community, and then everywhere we look, in the media, in politics, separate, 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 separate. We don't want them together. That is because they don't want the richness of the power that would actually happen if we as a collective consciousness, collective humans, saw past the religion, saw past the color, saw past the age, saw past the gender, and all of these titles that they glorify. If we saw past all of that and we connected on the soul level, we would be the most powerful dynasty, because I feel God, the way God would use that collective consciousness. You wouldn't have to wait for him to come back. He's already here. We as humans, you did this and you did that and voting for Trump and voting for this. And I dare you to put a flag out front of your house that says, me 2024. Us. 2024. Do the research on yourself. Do the research on why you didn't do the things you said you were going to do. But us as humans are just getting pinned on each other on every single topic. I win, you lose is a flawed system. But if you have a win, 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 win for me, win for you, win for the world, that's a whole nother level. So I truly do feel like when we get together in these little tribes, it gives us little fragments of that.
Yeah.
And then we become spectrums of light. And light has a way to manifest itself through different fixtures. But what if we brought all that together and really didn't get caught up in all the titles, which at the end of the day, whatever has power over you becomes your God. And if you got 25 different titles and you're like, well, I'm this and I'm this and I'm this and I'm this and I'm this, and you sell yourself out to it, it will blind you from all the beauty that's outside of it. There's no way to be embodied. And think about it, to be embodied is to operate from your full self while going through 25 different titles, well, I'm a this, I'm a this, I'm a this. I mean, you got to go through, that's not embodiment. That's like titlement or something. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, and I do believe there's an integration point where you can bring your level of embodiment in everything that you do. And you might have many different roles you play, whether it's a father and a teacher.
Absolutely.
And speaker. And, you know, as they find alignment with you, then you bring your embodiment everywhere you go.
Well, I want to speak right into that. So this is why I will say things like, well, I can identify with all these things. No, I'm Garen, who just happens to be. And now the power stays in one place. I'm Garen, who just happens to be a father. I just happen to be a follower of Christ. I just happen to be a this. I happen to be a that. But I don't get caught up in like my identity being all of the titles. I just happen to be a man. I just happen to be a devoted husband. But I'm not like the identity of a devoted husband. Now that becomes my God. And so you can be an embodiment inside of all of those, but just make sure that you don't embody yourself out of your own true essence, because you'll go right out and be like, yo, what happened? Like I seem to lost myself. Well, self was left because you went through the doorway and you lost yourself and all of the titles you gave yourself. Mm. Think about it. They title the word, the letters, CEO. But Y-O-U is lowercase. And death and life is at the power of the tongue. So you mean to tell me out of all these words, if you say, I hate myself, I hate myself, I hate myself, you will literally live a life where you manifest things that crystallizes hate. And CEO is all capital letters. Y-O-U, God in flesh form, is lowercase? Something to think about.
Can flip those around. I love what you brought up at the start about the power of getting at the root.
Yeah.
Because so much of us want a sweet fruit, metaphorically, for whatever it is in our life, whether it's the career, the relationship, the feeling internally. But we got to focus on the root if we want the good fruit, you know? Yeah. And so I think that I strive for this podcast to be a virtual safe space in which people can tune into these conversations that maybe don't always, you know, don't have the abundance of those, connections in tribe.
Absolutely.
And men or women's group or whatever. And so I just want to speak into what permission slip would you give people that are listening right now that can tune in to, hopefully this feels like a safe space for you virtually, that you can like feel like energetically you're here with us right now, and giving them a permission slip to explore that root and give them permission to acknowledge what they actually desire.
I had a client that came up to me and she said, I have a great marriage. My husband is amazing, great kids, great job. Something is missing. I said, what did you used to love to do when you were a little kid? She came in, slumped shoulders, crying. And instantly when I asked that question, she's like, I used to love to dance. And her arms goes, I used to love to dance. I'm like, yo, what just happened? It's two different people. And I was like, when was the last time you danced? 20 years ago. And then all of a sudden you're doing that whole thing. And I said, you love your kids? She said, I love them. So you do anything for them? She's like, I'll do anything for them. I said, how often do you show up for them? Oh, all the time. Like I'm like a really good mom. I said, you used to love to dance, right? Yeah. When was the last time you danced? 20 years ago. Imagine that dance is connected to your inner child. And that was your inner child's way of feeling loved. And 20 years goes by. Imagine a little kid at home. He said, Mom, 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 listen to me. Mom, listen to me. Mom, listen to me. How many times do you think she's going to pat you on the leg if 20 years goes by? She was like, she wouldn't. I said, why? She said, because I didn't pay attention. So let's just say, let's just play in possibility. And now, of course, I was in an compassionate state. I said, let's play in possibility. Every day that has gone by where you just saw a dance, you know, so you think you can dance, and all of a sudden that little thing comes up. I was like, I used to love to dance. And you don't do it. Let's just say that that's the little kid inside of you going, Mom, Mom, Mom. So if 20 years goes by, it does the same thing inside of your soul as a physical relationship as if you ignored a kid for 20 years. So what could be missing is the connection or the alignment from your physical and your spiritual self. Here's what I want you to do. Right now, I say I'm gonna play a song. I just want you to dance. But don't dance because I'm asking you to dance. Remember what it felt like when you were just in pure joy, and bring that person dancing. She starts dancing. And I said, once a week for 5 to 10 minutes, take that person dancing. She did it. 3 months, she comes back. Oh my goodness, Garen, everything has changed. I got a raise at my job. My sex is better and everything is different. She's like, oh, wow, like everything changed ever since I started dancing. And I'm hearing this, and all you did was your inner child started trusting you again. And I feel that's where all the ideas come from. That's where the creativity comes from. That's where the boundless energy comes from. That's where you're the closest thing to source. That's why they even say all kids go to heaven. Why do you think they say that? It's the closest thing to source. They have not been tainted by TikTok and all these other different things. So what I'm going to share with everybody out there, I want you to close your eyes just really quick. And I want you to think of the most endearing person that you can think of, just by way of thought. It could be a grandmother. It could be your cat. I know there's cat people out there. Your dog, spirit, like, and you've thought, and it brings up an energy in your body. And I want you to notice that feeling. Okay. Now, I want you to recall your earliest memory of doing something that you loved when you were younger that brought you the most joy. Dancing, singing, playing in the rain, hanging out with friends, eating, whatever the thing is. Okay? Now, imagine that the person with the most, that you can feel, that just has so much love and they're the most endearing person, is present with you right now. Now combine that with the feeling of, oh man, when I used to dance, when I used to run, when I used to paint, that feeling. Some of you might not remember, and that's okay. Keep that endearing feeling. Okay, now in this moment, notice what's going on in your body. Most of you feel even better than when you came on this call. Now, imagine that person is actually yourself. Imagine that person is yourself. That, right there, creates a container of safety when you feel safe in your own body to feel better.
It's powerful what it reveals and what becomes a match to it. You know, you spoke to Nikola Tesla's quote about understanding the universe by speaking in terms of vibration, energy, frequency. And I truly feel that in our essence, we are naturally effervescent. We naturally rise. Joy, peace, harmony. Like, these are things that are innate to the innocence of the human being. And we get calloused by the external world and trauma and pain and all these things. But that's who we are in our essence. And it feels very much so like a cork in water. And who we are not is pushing the cork down.
Yeah.
And by returning to that inner child, we return to that innocence, the cork naturally comes up, and then we become a match to what is meant for us because we are being us. And so whether that's a new opportunity where you make, you know, your finances are increased, or you meet a partner that is in a match to that frequency and energy. I just find it very fascinating that oftentimes in my own personal life, and I see within other people as well, when they're truly being an expression of them, in that embodied expression of them, what becomes a match to it is always in harmony with that, and a beautiful match to it.
I call it the harmonized human.
Yeah.
One who is in harmony with nature as it was designed, as you were designed.
And there's an intelligent design there, and it's returning back to it.
Just look outside. Right. Look at the symmetry. Look at the symmetry of the leaves. They're all different, but they're all the same. The symmetry of the trees. Look at the symmetry of most of y'all's eyes and nose and ears. Like, so God is very specific. So there is a specific design to how we were created and how we were made. I believe that a lot of the disruption that's going on in the world is because we're living out of balance of nature, of like how we are created. We're living out of balance. And my goal is to restore nature as it was designed. You make that, turn that into whatever you want. But those who know who knows. That is my goal. That is underneath everything that I do, is to restore nature as it and you were designed. Why? Because there's a vibrational resonance inside of your inherent nature that's always protected. It's only when we go out, where the harm happens. But inside of who you really are, deep down in the inside, most people don't even know. So they live in the mask, and they live what they think it is, and all these different things. But this conversation on vibrational truth and realigning with nature, anything that's out of alignment with nature is going to cause chaos. Anything that's in alignment, for some reason, always flows. And you see it, the hurricanes and tornadoes, and you see it, the soaring winds, and you see it, the calm winds. And it's like, whenever there's a alignment, it seems like a great shakeup happens. And I think it's largely caused by the resonance of so many humans out of alignment and then acting out that out of alignmentness. And the ripple effect of what that causes.
Yeah, I think maybe I'll turn it inwards for a second, because I feel that in the amazing, incredible container of our men's group, which we're going to Mexico in a couple of days with a boy. Yeah. I'm just so excited to see everybody, and it's so good. I felt this pattern internally, and I'd love to get, like, I'm you know, down to open up here and also get your perception on this, because we've talked about it a little bit. But, you know, as I was kind of like help, you know, curate the group and everything, I feel there have been many times where people are like processing their stuff. And I don't think we're meant to just always be processing things. Like, we can come to a place where we find harmony within, and there's things maybe that come up here and there. And so I don't think that we need to be on this never ending journey, you know, of that. It becomes more in flow and more in harmony. But I was noticing, you know, as people do have their own stuff, you know, with their family lines or whatever it is that comes up, we kind of go around and say, you know, like a rose and a thorn, or like, what's a win for you? What's challenging for you? And I kind of had a little bit of shame for like not having really dense challenges, what I felt like what were like really things to bring, as people are like bearing their heart, you know, with like these deep pains of things that are happening, and just generally feeling like, yeah, I'm good. I don't really have that, like, the thing, which is also my truth. But also I feel like there was a deeper part too, in which we've talked, where, you know, there's deeper access potentially, you know, for me connecting with my own humanity.
Yeah.
And, you know, because of various things where maybe I didn't feel safe as a kid to access that vulnerability, or maybe it was pushed down. And so I would maybe create a facade or mirage, or the appearance of having it together, or always being well, or, you know, all that thing. So I wouldn't have to maybe potentially feel the opposite of it. And so, yeah, dude, I'm just curious your thoughts about that for me internally. And obviously, you know, it has its messages for everyone else listening.
Honestly, man, with you, I've seen it the whole time. I just didn't have the articulation. So I'd be like, I just need you to be more human. But that was not it. You shared something on the walk with me today about, you know, just growing through your own journey last year. I'm like, well, damn, I wish you would have said something, like set it out and not like danced around it with like, there's like, we can get caught in like using spiritual words and things like that. I was like, I don't really know what he's talking about. Like, whatever. It's like, yo, last year I was going through some like, and you named it. And I was like, bro, I had so many opportunities that I could have put you in so that you wouldn't have had to experience that. But when we're all sharing, I'm like, yo, I'm struggling. And you have that just not being like straight up and honest with where you're at can cause separation in the sanctity of how sacred the energy is. What you told me on the walk today, just about like what you were like, what you, and I don't want to put that out there, but like what you were growing through, I was like, I have 14 different opportunities I could have easily put you in, but you never said anything. But I'm like, yo, is there anything you're like, nah, man, it's just like, nah, I'm like, nah, bro, you holding back something, but you shared it today. And I think that being honest without trying to color the words, yo, here's what I'm going through right now. I think you will reach the human part of a person. You know, it's one of the big reasons why a lot of spiritual people are broke, because they use this language that's actually not connecting with where most of the people are. They use this, oh, the divine, it'll be like way out there, like, but I can't sell out my products. I'm like, yo, like you're not talking. They got to look up everything that you're saying. So I would say, when the veil is down and you're with us and it's just like, yes, you've done a lot of study. There's no editing. There's no nothing. And you're just like, yo, I'm fucking going through it. And this is what it is. Boom. Then we can see that and support you in polishing that and turning that into a diamond. I didn't know it till like literally 3 hours ago.
Yeah, I mean, I've shared it in context a little bit throughout the group, you know, on some calls. Maybe you haven't been there as much. And I don't care. I mean, I'm down to share. It's not like I have any shame around it or anything. It was just more so last year was the biggest, I guess, expansion. It was more like around finances. And
yeah,
I'd probably made the most money I've ever made. But also I'd made the conscious decision at the very beginning of last year, 2023, to stretch myself, to move into a place where
crazy house.
So moved into a place where the rent was crazy high. And I was like, I kind of want to see the version of me that becomes available on the other side of this.
Yeah.
And so I kind of knew I was like going to go into, you grow to the size of the pot and then you plant yourself in a bigger pot and you go grow to the size of that one. So I knew what I was doing. And part of me, I think along the journey was like, I'm making it happen. It's working. There's definitely was some very challenging you know, moments with it, but I like to discover my own resourcefulness in that for sure as well. And, but yeah, that's just an example of one thing.
Well, what you just said.
Yeah.
I like to discover my own, resourcefulness is the trap, because your resource also is people around
you. Of course. Yeah.
And if somebody can share something that doesn't have to have you almost get to a certain place and then bring up that energy and you're like, oh, and they can easily compress time frames, all of a sudden you're like, oh, I discovered a new resource. And that's the whole purpose of having that. And you know, there's people that you know, that there's sick care, you know, and then there's people that like live life with preventative measures and never get sick. This is one of those things. It's like, have the sense of resourcefulness, but in a newer arena, bro, take all the support and learn from people who've done it before. And then they can just give you other different options. You'd be like, hey, here's what I'm about to do. I'm about to, you know, a shark will grow to whatever size tank that it's in. I'm about to up level in this way. Here's some things that could present itself as a potential issue. Have you ever experienced this? What have you done in this time? And we can easily give you something, pop, 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 pop. Now you're not like, well, I'm by myself, and that little energy comes up, because the energy doesn't have to do that. And what I mean by that energy, it's like this scarcity type energy, this thing of, oh, okay, I got to figure it out. That doesn't have to come up when you have the power of the super brain. So now it's not Andre brain, it's Andre pouring into the brain while everybody's pouring fullness into the brain, and now it creates a super brain. So anything that comes from that is ultimately coming from what you invested into the super brain.
Yeah, I think it comes back to also, you know, we fundamentally desire most to like authentically connect with people.
Yeah.
And the way you can only do that is by being vulnerable, by being like expressing your raw truth and being who you really are. And so it's just coming back to, I think it's also take home for the listeners of, you know, cultivating those safe spaces and expressing your vulnerability to be able to actually really connect with people. Because oftentimes what connects most with people is not the highlight reel and the big wins,
right,
but the shit, the mud, you know?
Yeah.
Because a lot of times that's what people are going through and they're growing through. So yeah, just a power of vulnerability is so much. And I'm, you know, so grateful to be able to see amazing examples of that within all the guys, you know?
Yeah. And all of us, like literally we got together, then everybody just goes.
Yeah.
I have a saying that says flowers that grow together grow much faster than they do by themselves. And our container is a pure example of the collective consciousness of those flowers blossoming simultaneously. Like I'll be experiencing something, you're like, yo, I just booked this, and then this other person, then this other person, this other person. We're not gonna name the names, but like, you know, and then it was like, oh, this makes sense, because it's that shared frequency, it's the shared energy.
And I believe that so much of our healing actually comes not by overly trying to focus and heal our own stuff, but by in the service of other people, you know, and in healing their work. And I just find so much growth comes when, because this personal development journey and path can get a little solipsistic, you know, you're like so focused on yourself the whole damn time, when there's this grander horizon of people that are suffering way worse than you that could use your support. And I found that like actually a lot of your own healing comes as a byproduct of serving and helping and being there for other people. So it's that balance of like, you know, focusing and healing on your own stuff and, you know, taking your eyes outwards and seeing what you can serve, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Fire me up, bro.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's go. What do you feel like is the biggest message that's coming through you right now that we haven't touched on that you want to share how you want to show up and serve humanity?
Somebody asked me this the other day, and they said, and I'm going to keep my eyes closed for this one. Garen, I see your company, Artist Power. You're just encouraging the little kids inside of the adults to actually be free. It's like, outside of that, what do you inspire to do to make this world a better place, or to even if you want to do that, to change the world? And I said, being a devoted husband and a father who is fathering the next generation of women and leaning into that and not cowering, not making excuses, not saying, hey, this is mom's role. It's truly redefining and defining the origin of actual family. That is so meaningful to me, because I had no idea of the domestication that I was in when I was a little kid. And it took me 37 years to reparent myself. Now I'm about to be 45 in a few months. But most people don't have the privilege to take 12 years of emotional intelligence and 10 days in the dark, 5 days in silent, and constant work, like 12 over a decade of transformation. And I truly do feel that the best way to change the world is to give our kids a better example of what to follow. People don't do what you say, they do what they see. They respond to how you feel. They respond to the energy in the house. I remember, and this is through no fault of her own, my mom did the best she could with what she knew. My father was murdered when I was 12 years old, and my mom had to play the role of the man and the woman, had to discipline me and my brother, so she did her absolute best. And she could not take the role of a father. And I say this because the missing element of the masculine and the feminine harmonizing in the family dynamics is what's influencing our kids. And then our kids are going to school, being taught by teachers that are getting paid way less than their actual value. Elementary school teachers should be taught, they should get paid more than high school teachers. Somebody called me crazy. Why? Because first 7 years of a child's life is patterns the rest of their life. So if you spend, as a kid, if you spend most of that time given to somebody who has accepted $35,000 a year, you're only going to get a certain type of person. You will get the best of the best if you pay them the best of the best. And the message that I really feel called to is we get to set a better example for the next generation. And that's us taking personal responsibility. It won't come from your government. It won't come from the president of the whatever. Like, I'm sure we need those things for some reason, but like as far as our kids and the next generation, nobody's coming to save us. But I can tell you one thing. You are their first mentors. Mom, Dad, you're their first mentors. So whatever work is important for you to do to be the highest representation of who your kids will marry one day, 100% will change the world.
I love the affirmation, or I guess statement, that you like to live by, which is, I am the most powerful representation of who my daughter one day will marry.
Yeah.
That's powerful.
That's one heaven of responsibility. In a world full of I'm really passionate about this because I used to be this person that would sleep around with all these women, and before I even knew what abusing my power was, I was just an unworthy person, be like, oh my God, she likes me, I sleep with her. And that's when I was just a broken boy trying to be a man. Because no one else in my life had a model. There was no representation. There is a lot of, I call it the dark side of the moon going on, like especially in the spiritual community where people use spiritual jargon and they host retreats and get these women open and vulnerable and then start, you know, take them to have alcohol afterwards and then sleep with them and everything. And that becomes that in itself. I don't care if you're a shaman, if you're serving ayahuasca, whatever guru, whatever something. And it's a lot of them. And a lot of these women are afraid to talk about it. They're afraid to talk about it. Well, guess what? I'm talking about it now. Level your king shit up. Like truly level it up. You want to change the world? Create a space inside of yourself. Well, you have learned to love yourself to the embodiment where there doesn't need to be a mask so that you can hide behind what will open people up so that you can do your dirty work. That system is played out, and using healing and using spirituality as a mask to avoid your own work that you're not doing, time is up. And I don't even know how I even got to that, but I'm so passionate about that subject. And I also at the same time have compassion. I'm passionate about it and I have compassion because I didn't get that deep, like where I was doing it on purpose, but I had a variant. I was that variant of that maybe 8 years ago. And so I know what it looks like. I know what it smells like. Inside of my containers, if you even get cut, boom, fired, you can never work with anything that I have to do it again because you're working with the sweet substance called the nervous system where people trust you and they open. And yeah, I don't even know how we got on that, but clearly it was at the forefront of my brain.
Yeah.
But I'm passionate about that.
Well, it's in the declaration of who you want to be, which is the most powerful representation of a man who one day your daughter will marry.
Yeah.
That's also who you're showing up for in the container of your partnership and like the devoted, committed husband.
Yeah.
Where it's sad, but we just don't have that many examples of men who are really being that safe. I mean, there are them out there for sure. But
for sure.
It's far and few between, I feel like, in comparison to how many people are...
As far as visible, yeah, visible. Right. There are men out there like that, but as far as visible,
yeah,
influential, married, committed, devoted husbands, where when the wife is not around, there's no leaky energy. I've been at a party, and there was like a lot of these beautiful women around, and all of a sudden... And a girl comes and I know exactly what she's doing every single time. And she turns into 15 different people trying to do the thing. And it just doesn't work because I literally, when I'm at a party, it's like my wife Blair is there with me. And how would I hold myself? And I would have, and women would come up to me and they're like, thank you. I'm like, for what? Showing me what a devoted husband looks like. I've never seen that before. And there's lots of married men. You know, that too can be a mask. But that leaky energy is a thing. It is a thing. And what I'm now realizing is how many people are inspired by my marriage, are inspired by the way Blair honors me when I'm not around, by the way I honor Blair when she's not around. And so now that becomes yet another thing that I want to... I really want to be a vibrational match inside of that because that's a variant of who we both are. And if that inspires people, because I know a lot of people, they want that. They're like, they're just trying to get in a relationship. And they get in, fall out, get in, fall out, get in, fall out, get in. No, but the sustainability, the groundedness, the fortitude, the loyalty, the honor, the self-respect, the dedication. That's a whole nother level. You want to find out who, well, you're about your personal growth and your spirituality and everything. Be involved with somebody, another powerful person, and you'll see exactly where you are beyond the mask that you put out there. But when Blair and I got together, bro, it was like two battling rams on all of our traumas and just bombs. This is where people say, oh, no, it should be much easier. No, it should not. I've never seen a nice coach win a championship. I've never seen somebody ease their way up a mountain. Why can't marriage be a container for continuous growth? Babies are born through blood and chaos. Do you think You're going to grow into another version of yourself, break out of your old shell, die to your ego, just where everything all peachy. No, it does not work that way. You can't accident your way into a world record. You ain't going to win the Super Bowl that way. You're not going to win any level of championship. Ping pong, nothing. Like wiffle ball, nothing. That is going to take work, dedication, loyalty, effort, not splitting energies and things of that nature. So I'm very grateful that Blair and I get to be an example of the devoted family with no leaky energy, eating dinner at the dinner table without the phone, and raising the next generation, of I call it H2O. It's like human 2.0, the harmonized human. And so, I love that and I'm grateful. And of course we come with our struggles, but the aim is that.
Yeah, when you have a collective aim and a vision of a future that you're building together, it's like then when problems come up, it's you guys working on those neuroses instead of me versus you, win-lose model, right?
Yeah.
How do you make it a win-win?
Yeah.
And yeah, but that takes two courageous, powerful individuals who make that declaration and really mean it. And that's what they want. And they're willing to sacrifice to in order to have that. So it's powerful. I love our conversations, man. And like just before going on a walk, we did a little nature walk and we climbed the tree and just sat.
That was so fun. I haven't climbed one. I've never climbed that big of a tree. So thank you for that. It was a great reminder that I get to climb trees more.
Climbing trees is awesome. I love it. I'm a big fan. But like the conversations too we have in the tree about, you know, it's so symbolic of the sturdy oak tree, you know, that we were sitting in about the power of having your roots deep and cultivating the disciplined man and what it means to be a devoted father and make that declaration of who you want to be. And just by being that, you inspire so many people by your way of being, you know? And you're a leading example for men to have a reference point of what's possible, because there is a great joy and depth of commitment. There's a lot of pleasure in non-committal energy.
Of course.
Yeah, of course. There's a lot of pleasure. But deep joy, I don't see people find that.
And something I want to share, and I want everybody to really pay attention to what I'm sharing. Napoleon Hill said, "Nature never takes away anything without replacing it with something of equal or greater benefit. It is law. It is a partnership." And when I was getting in a relationship, and I just remember I was dancing around. I was like this, but she doesn't have this. So I'll date this girl that's like this. And it's like, if you look at a picture of where's Waldo, that's the mind of an uncommitted mind. Literally, that is an uncommitted mind. Whether you know it or not. I knew what was going to come with the moment that the most least likely person to ever be married, ever be in a committed relationship, went Facebook public with anybody. No one had ever seen me leaving a club with a girl. I did all my stuff on the other side, the dark side of the moon. And so I knew. The moment I put that out on Facebook, I was like, man, there's going to be so many tests. And according to your prayer, your wish, your meditation, I mean, your prayer, your wish, your vision unlocks the equal of its resistance. They actually come together. There is no light without dark. There is no love without, like, literally, it's a part of the puzzle. I knew that me committing was going to unlock. It was like release the Kraken of every girl I had ever dealt with in my past, every dated, slept with. I knew that was going to happen. I knew it was going to happen. And I was like, deathly afraid of that level of commitment, because there's also nobody that was in my life where I could see that I could actually resonate with that was like committing like that. So I'm just like, well, they not committing. Even while married, they not committing. I was like, ugh. I drove my Triton into the ground and I said, bring it. Girls that I didn't even realize, we had never been intimate before. They're like, oh my goodness, I've been saving myself for the last 10 years. And the A-list celebrities that I'd dealt with in the past. And it was just like, boom, people that I'd tried, girls that I tried to get with. And they, for some reason, like, I'm dating someone. But the moment I put that on Facebook, they're like, oh, we broke up. It may have been 15, 17, maybe 20 women. And all of it was part of the test to see if what you want is what you really want. And see, the universe ain't going to use something that you don't want. It's going to use something that's connected to your heart. That's where the weapons of mass distractions come into alignment. So they all start coming out, everything. And I drove my commitment even deeper. Because on our first date, I looked at Blair. I saw something I had never seen in any woman I'd ever dealt with in my entire life. A future. I looked at her and I saw us older together. I saw us with children. And I was like, none of this is worth it. I mean, sweet, pretty, beautiful, but you got to have more depth than that. And Blair literally has everything that I want. I didn't find a little girl who's trying to be a woman, who wants to play games. And there's little boys trying to be men looking for little girls. Makes sense. Y'all are aligned to each other. And that's why breakup, next. I'm going to move. I'm going to do this. This is what we used to do as little kids. It's like a new toy. Okay, another new toy. And then it's a room full of new toys. All it is the evolution of that. I found a wife. And the characteristics of a wife is very different than the characteristics of an adult pretending to be a woman, acting like a little girl. Blair's characteristics, even in her, she was very structured and very detailed and everything. I saw the nurturer. I was like, I wasn't having any more kids. But I was like, but I will have kids with you. And she was never going to have kids, but she was like, but I will have kids with you. So when I saw future, I'm willing to bet on it. And that level of faith and that level of commitment, it demagnetized the distraction. So that's why I can be in the presence and honor a beautiful woman. Yes, a very beautiful woman. And keep the covenant of who Blair and I are, because there is no me without Blair and there's no Blair without me, because the collective of both of us, the transcendent energy, is why I'm able to create all of this, because the role that she has taken in the divine order in our house. And she has to do nothing. In her being is more powerful than any electricity on the planet. And I'm just like, yo, that. So if more women started focusing and training and started really being without like the need to do, I got to do this and fight for survival, trying to like take the role of a whatever man, because they had to come up in a man's world. So you're domesticated like that. Like I'm a boss babe and I'm a boss bitch and shit. Like I know where that comes from and I get it. And I guarantee you, as long as you in that energy, that man that you really want is either going to take the feminine role because there will be no polarity, or you drop into who you really are deep down on the inside, deep down on the social norm constructs, and there's a natural essence. And inside of that is the harmony of when two come together, create the one, all of a sudden you produce a baby. I mean, this thing can go deeper and deeper and deeper, and everybody has different things to say about it. I'm living it. It's not something I studied. It's something that I'm living and I'm watching, witnessing the more and more Blair doesn't need to work. I don't want her to work unless she actually wants to, unless it brings her joy. She wants to bake bread. She wants to teach. She wants to travel and do these things. She'd been working. When Blair came to me, and I want all the women to listen, just really pay attention to this. Not demanded. Soft tone, shoulders down. She looked at me. She said, "Baby, I'm tired." I'm getting emotional. "I don't want to have to do what I did to get here. I'm tired." And she looked up at me. She said, "Baby, will you take care of me?" I don't know what it was about her being and the tone in her voice, soft shoulder, soft tone. Something was birthed inside of me. Interesting how my company, Artist Power, was created a month later. First 6.5 months, $2.7 million. I wasn't even trying to do that. Interesting. That is the power of when a woman is in her true essence. It's nothing that she has to do. It's all in her being.
It's beautiful. I can imagine many men and women resonating also with the understanding that you just provided about polarity and the feminine essence and the desire for surrender, and also that men want to provide for somebody that they love. It brings us great joy.
That they love.
Yeah.
Not who they settle for. So totally. I'm glad that you specified that they love.
Yeah, man. So good stuff. I think it's a beautiful representation. And shout out Blair, we love you. So, you know, she's probably tuning in to this one.
She's at home.
And baby soul.
Me and coming here.
And Chieftain on the way.
Yeah, let's get it.
Let's go.
Yeah, I'm grateful to be a father of 22-year-old daughter, Kylia. She's such a special human. 2-year-old daughter, Soul, such a special human. And my son, Chief, on the way in July. Yeah, just star seeds that just continue to amplify our growth. And we're just here. We're here to be shepherds of these new energies that are coming through and being the most powerful example.
Yeah. Well, I think the next generation is being raised by individuals like yourself and the ways that you guys parent. I think we're in good hands. Just hoping that we can find more people like you to be able to raise more kids like that.
There's actually more people. They're just not verbal.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's obviously a lot of people out there, but there's a lot that are, you know, there's a lot of unconscious parenting going on.
Yeah, here. Yeah. And it because you recycle. You recycle how you were brought up. Yeah. I wouldn't, if I didn't do all of those years of emotional intelligence and just learn about who I am, and you know, it's people put so much research into like voting for a president and learn everything about them and learn nothing about themselves. So like I literally, all those years, I learned before I take myself to any poll that I would vote for me to be the president of the United States of myself before I give that power to anyone else. And I'm just excited. and compassion for where people are, because not everybody they're just at different stages of their life. But that's the whole purpose of operating from nature's template. Nature's always patient. Nature's always patient. God is always patient. And that's what I want to be like. That's who I'm emulating. And so I've learned to be patient. I learned when I was in prison for 2.5 years and I wrote 100-something letters to people and only 4 people wrote me back. I learned how to be radically patient and that everything is going to come. It's going to come to fruition.
It's a great note to start to wrap up on, because, and I have so much compassion for all the people out there listening, but you know, the parents especially. It's like, I'm not a parent. I'm definitely in no place to discern or delineate what is effective in that regard. I just know that it's such a big endeavor to, it brings up so much. And it's important to grace ourselves with that.
Yeah, you're not a parent, but you have certain qualities that make a great parent, like your steadfastness, your leadership, the ability to do research, you know, the discipline that you have, the self-discipline that you have, self-love that you have, how you lead by example, even in the podcast and the spiritual space and the new spaces that you're growing into. Like, that recipe is a beautiful recipe when it comes to being a father and being a parent. We're just not taught that. And they don't give parents a recipe on how to parent. So we're just all doing. My mom did the best she could with what she knew. Like, and I freaking love her. She taught me how to be calm through any storm. She taught me, if you don't have it, figure it out. So this is why I can create anything where it seems like there's nothing to create from, because my mom gave me that gift, and there was a lot that I didn't get that I had to learn over time. So if you're a parent out there or you're wanting to be a parent, the invitation is not for you to take this conversation as a way to even feel more shameful, but take this as a way to, this is the blue line in the sand. This is the line in the sand where I don't just stop at being a parent. I get to remember myself, and all my kids are watching who I'm being, what I'm doing, how I'm celebrating my own self, because you're training them based off of how you treat yourself. So if this woke you up in such a way, let this be your loving interruption to remind you of what your soul already knows. That you were born to impact world changers. They're not just kids. They're not just teenagers. They literally have the ability to be the next Einstein, if given the opportunity.
Thank you so much, man. Thoroughly enjoyed this conversation. Any last words you want to share before you wrap up with a little bit of musical vibration?
There's not words. It's interesting that you say words, because true words don't come in the form of human language. It's true language doesn't come in the form of these words that are coming out. Somebody was just like, hey, this word is this, this means this, and this means that. But vibration and sound, and I want to leave this container with having everybody drop in to their, what they truly feel called to do. And I just want to ask everybody out there to close your eyes, and I'm going to do a quick sound activation, so that we can set an attunement in your vibrational body and code your vibrational body with your intention of what you feel called to do, and then have these frequencies that are about to be shared kind of be like the wind that sets the sail. So everybody close their eyes and take a deep breath in your nose and out your mouth. In your nose and out your mouth. In your nose, out your mouth with a smile. In your nose, out your mouth with a sigh. In your nose, out your mouth with a song. In your nose, out your mouth with a song. In your nose, out your mouth with a song. In your nose, out your mouth with a song. In your nose, out your mouth with a song. Yourself. When you smile, don't forget your heart.
Thank you, G.
You're so welcome, brother.
Love you.
Love you too.
Honored to walk this path with you.
Let's get it.
Everywhere you guys can check out Garen is going to be linked down in the description below. Thank you for coming on this journey. I feel y'all with us. Sending you so much love. Until next time, be well.